It is getting quite chilly outside, finally. Maybe scraping the windshield is a chore, but it's a light one compared to figuring out where to sleep for the night when you're homeless. Organizations throughout our region work hard to get people off the streets and into shelters during the winter. Today we'll meet some of the people working to shelter the homeless over the winter in Ashland. Sarah Hopkins Powell is acting as something of an overseer for the entire situation across the city. Sarah, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Russ Oddy is the manager of the shelter at Trinity Episcopal Church in Ashland. Welcome, Russ.
Thanks.
And we also have John Wachorek with us, who's the manager of the shelter at Pioneer Hall in Lithia Park in Ashland. John, welcome to you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Sarah, if you would just give us an overview. I mean, is Ashland either unusual for a city of its size having homeless people at all or for the number of homeless people it has?
It's not unusual. I think that we do know that this is an attractive place for people as they're passing up and down I-5. So we often see a larger number of homeless, especially in the summer. But we have a clear homeless population that stays here year-round, many of whom live up in the woods for part of the year. And we have a large number of children, actually, who are homeless in the Ashland area.
Children, really?
Either with their parents or high school age kids who are couch surfing often. We don't see them so much in the shelters, but they are counted as part of the 200 that are homeless.
And so about how many people end up actually using shelter services over the course of a winter?
I don't know. Usually each night we have at any of the shelters between about 20 and 35 people who will come into the shelter. We have additional numbers of people who may be living in their cars, because we have several of those in the Ashland area, who will come to the shelter, get warm, and then go sleep in their car. But about 20 to 35 people on any given night.
And how long have there been services to provide shelter, additional shelter for people in the wintertime?
The shelters really started in Ashland about 7 or 8 years ago with First Presbyterian Church. Ruth Cohart and Barbie Brennhauser were the first to really start what we call a no-frills shelter. And they set the model for the rest of us. So for that long, there was just one night of shelter. And then the city also asked them, when we have a city ordinance that says when it's less than 20 degrees, we'll open a shelter. And so they took on that responsibility as well. And then the city formed a task force on homelessness about 3 years ago. And one of the recommendations out of that city task force was to increase the number of nights of shelter. So there was really an outreach to the various organizations and churches to see if there were additional people that could offer nights of shelter. And that's when we were able to get Trinity and the group that's now providing services at Pioneer Hall.
And obviously you're coordinating your efforts. Russ, tell us about how long the program has been set up at Trinity.
At Trinity, we'll be starting our third season. So we're still relatively new at this whole process. But it's a wonderful opportunity for the church to reach out and meet part of the mission of what a church is about, to provide shelter for the homeless.
Where are people housed on winter nights?
We use a facility that is called Parish Hall. It's our community gathering space on the church grounds at 44 North 2nd Street.
All right, and let me turn to John Wachorek, who manages the shelters at Pioneer Hall. What's the name for your organization, if there is one?
Well, it's a unique cooperative effort between the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship here in Ashland, which I'm a member of, and Temple Emek Shalom. We didn't have the spaces at our respective locations to do it on location, so we partnered with the city of Ashland, and they've graciously allowed us to use Pioneer Hall downtown in the little log cabin building adjacent to Lithia Park.
All right, so if we're talking about essentially three shelters, is that right?
Three places, four nights of shelter.
Three places, four nights of shelter. So which one provides two nights of shelter?
That would be us at Pioneer Hall. We started that. We're going into our third year, and we started that with 1 year. The city liked what we did, so last year they asked us to do it two nights a week. So on Pioneer Hall, we operate on Tuesday and Thursday nights.
And is it just a lack of space or a lack of other organizations that could come in that prevent this from being a seven nights a week thing?
Yeah.
Space and then finding enough volunteers to be the staff, to be on site, to serve as hosts.
And what does the job entail?
What does the job entail? We invite people to arrive at about 7:30 in the evening, receive an on-site mini training of how to approach and welcome our guests onto the site, the mechanics of each individual location, because there are some differences, and then the manager stays around for a little while until we get to a time that we call lockdown, and once lockdown occurs, then the hosts spend the night overnight. Next morning, help facilitate the cleanup of the space. Often there's food both in the evening and the morning. Help distribute the food, get things packed up. And by, at the latest, 8 a.m. the following morning, we've got everything back to normal to operate in the way that space's primary operation occurs.
We're talking about sheltering the homeless over the course of the winter, with specific reference, obviously, to Ashland. We're talking to Sarah Hopkins, Powell, Russ, Adi, and John Wachorik about the offerings in the city of Ashland. Maybe there are some things you want to tell us about homeless shelters in your own community and how those are operated. Join us here at The Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. How much outreach did any or all of you do to look at other towns and see what they were doing and in essence not reinvent the wheel?
Well, we had the one shelter here, so we knew how that was working at First Presbyterian Church. And then the city task force, we did look at a number of other communities to see what they were doing. In some communities, it's a mission-based, the mission rescue kind of church, where people are expected to go to a service as well as be housed overnight. Some shelters are open all year round. But we really looked at the model at First Presbyterian and thought a winter shelter that's a no-frills is really what's sustainable for Ashland. And so we decided to go ahead and do that. We have looked at various times at, there are cities that have done some things for people that are in cars, but we have not yet moved to that place where we can really have a space for people who are sleeping in their cars.
Eugene, for example, has done a lot with car camping.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm.
In fact, it has passed ordinances to make that possible. It doesn't sound like, 20 to 35 people, but then again, you're not operating on the same night, so the same 20 or 35 people are going to move around from shelter to shelter. And where do they go on the three nights when there is no shelter offered?
Many of them are down by the Greenway, up in the woods. They have spots around town where they have found some safety to be able to stay. And this is men and women. It's predominantly men, but we do have women in these shelters. And we would like to say that starting next week, there's going to be a new family shelter available, which we haven't had, at the United Methodist Church here in Ashland. So one night a week, there'll be a family shelter available there.
And is there a limit to the number of people in the family or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
Not at this point.
All right. So a family shelter starting when?
Next Tuesday night.
And how do you decide which nights? Is it just a matter of when there aren't other things that occupy the church?
Space available. Mm-hmm. The rest of our facility is used by other community-based and our own activities on the other evening. So our chance to do it was Wednesday evening.
You had mentioned, Sarah, earlier about there is a regular population of homeless people. Mm-hmm. Does the crowd thin out at all? I mean, it does seem like there's a larger number anyway during tourist season when it's warmer in Ashland. Nice place to be, obviously.
There is a pretty resident community. I think John and Russ can both speak to this as well. But from the work that we've done with the Homeless Task Force, there's a pretty resident community of particularly veterans and older men who have been in this area for a long time. Some of them are housed for a while and then become homeless again. I talked to one the other night who'd been homeless for 25 years and just got into housing. So, you know, it varies from person to person, but there is a resident population.
Grab your headphones because we have a phone call here we want to take from Madi in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sarah, Russ, and John.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having this subject on. Yeah, I'm affiliated with the Egan Warming Center here in Eugene, and it was pretty cold last night. We normally start our season on the 15th of November and go through the 31st of March. We activate when it's below 30 degrees. It was below 30 degrees last night, and we just weren't quite set up and ready with everything. We do have a couple of volunteer training sessions coming up that I'd like to announce because we're a little low on volunteers this year. We have a great group from the previous years that keep coming back. It's a wonderful experience, and we'd sure like to get some new blood in there also. So if I could announce those two dates and times.
Sure.
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah, we have one coming up tomorrow night, and that's in Springfield. We also have a site out in Springfield, and also any people that live in Springfield that would want to come and work at a site in Eugene. We do have 6 sites available right now, and it's 11:13, and it's at the Springfield Adventist Church, and that's at 12th and Olympic. It starts at 5:30, and it goes through 7:30. Anyone that wishes to volunteer for Eagle Warming Centers, they do need to go through a training. And if they've been in previous years and had a training, and they can certainly just go to our website and email us.
All right.
So I also have another site coming up on 11:20. It's at the Church of the Resurrection at 3925 Hilliard Street, and that one is from 6 to 8 o'clock.
6 to 8. So 6 to 8 o'clock on the 20th at the Church of the Resurrection, and then tomorrow night, the 13th, in Springfield at the Adventist Church, 5 to 7:30.
5:30 to 7:30.
5:30 to 7:30. And where is there a website for Eagle Warming Center? There is, actually.
Yeah, just eaglewarmingcenter.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells a little bit of Major Thomas Egan, the story of him. He's a gentleman who passed away on our streets years back.
Mm-hmm.
We've been going for 8 years now, and it's a wonderful program. I don't have all the numbers that we've served throughout the past, and it builds a great community. People get to do a lot of networking with like-minded individuals. It's one of the greatest programs we have here, and we do have a lot of good programs here.
All right, EaganWarmingCenter.com. Mati, thanks for the information about that, with the trainings coming up as well. Interesting, we had another question, too, about the fact that Eagan Warming Center's trigger in Eugene at 30 degrees. Ashland, it's 20 degrees
right, for
an overnight shelter. Still just based on what you feel you can handle?
It's a city ordinance, and the city has discussed this several times, and it hasn't changed. Actually, several of us would be happy to move that number up, but for the city right now, they've kept it at 20.
Yeah, and just for clarity, our shelters that we operate during the winter are not triggered by temperature. We run those Monday through Friday, regardless of the temperature. It's mid-November through mid-April. But on the nights that we don't provide shelters, is what Sarah's referring to, is that when the 20-degree temps. And, you know, the medical community can certainly attest to the fact that, you know, someone can die of hypothermia when it's 40 degrees, it's an issue.
Is there an eye toward eventually having a consistently open shelter in Ashland every night of the week in the wintertime?
That's our dream.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it takes volunteers. And Russ, I noticed you were nodding a bit when we were hearing the information about the training for the Eagan Warming Centers.
We've had a couple of training opportunities and had some people show up, but we're always looking for more volunteers. And we have a sign-up location that allows people to put themselves on the schedule at any of the 4 locations. And at each of those 4 locations, we do last-minute emergency training, so that if someone signs up who hasn't attended a training session, that doesn't exclude them from being a host. There are some stipulations that the city requires a background check for people at the Pioneer Hall, but First Pres and Trinity do not require that background check, so we even have a quicker access into what's going on. That address, Sarah has it, and it's tiny URL.
We'll make sure we get it to you.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, if you can relay that to me, we'll make sure we attach it to our stuff on both jeffexchange.org and on Facebook as well. So it's First Presbyterian once a week, Trinity once a week, and at Pioneer Hall twice a week in Ashland. Then again, if the temperature drops below 20, and which shelter opens in that case? Is it?
It depends on what's available, what night of the week it is, who's got space available. Last year, during the December storm that we had, the city actually opened the Grove, and then the group provided volunteers for that.
Okay. Always a trick, providing shelter space in the winter for the homeless. Sarah Hopkins-Powell, Russ Oddie, and John Wachorek, thank you all for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.